In Psalm chapter 148 this evening, let me read just a few verses from this and we'll get into our text tonight. And this is another psalm of praise, and this psalm basically is a call to universal praise, and it also gives the reasons for praising the Lord, as we'll see when we read through the entire psalm. It's speaking about the whole creation. And what is interesting is you read verses 1 through 6 here in this psalm, you find all the host of heaven, the celestial area, praising God. In verses 7 through 14, you have all the host of the earth, the terrestrial. You have the heavenly beings and the heavenly bodies in verses 1 through 6, praising the Lord, the angels, the planets, and so forth, testify to the glory of God. And then you have in verse 7 through verse 14, you have the earthly beings, you have man, animals, the elements, everything here that testifies to the glory of God and praises God in one way or the other. Now notice as we read, he said in verse 1, he says, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights, praise ye Him, all His angels, praise ye Him, all His hosts, praise ye Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all ye stars of light, praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and he said, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all depths. He said, fire and hail, snow, vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him, praise ye the Lord. And I mentioned to you before that this phrase here, praise ye the Lord, in Hebrew, basically means hallelujah. Father, we thank You tonight for Your love and kindness to us. Lord, we thank You for these Psalms, Your Word, Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for this, Your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us and lives for us and seated at the right hand of Thy presence. And Lord, we come here this evening. We ask, Lord, Your anointing and blessing upon the reading of Your Word. We ask, Lord, that You would meet with us tonight. We ask, Lord, that You would work among us, speak to our hearts. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, the theme of this psalm is pure praise. There is no plea. There is no petitions. There is no list of requests or anything in these psalms. But we simply see praising the Lord. This is our privilege and our responsibility. I say privilege first. It is our privilege, but it's also our responsibility to praise the Lord. We are usually slack in this area of praising the Lord. Very easy for us as believers going through day after day. It's very easy for us to lose sight of these things. And many times, hopefully, we as believers, we will thank the Lord when He answers prayer. But a lot of times we don't really thank Him on a daily basis and praise Him. Now, the Bible tells us in Psalms 100, many moons ago, we came through that chapter. But he basically, and I'm not asking you to turn there, but he talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord and serving the Lord with gladness and coming into the presence of God with singing. In verse 3, he says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, I mention Psalms 100 and verse 3 because it is the Lord that made us. It is the Lord that is with us, and we are to give praise unto Him. And these are Psalms, I feel like, are at a good time. I hope for you as well as myself. I've been thinking today about preaching a message out of Galatians chapter 6 this coming Sunday, either morning or night. A message titled, Be Not Weary in Well-Doing. It's very easy for us to get weary in well-doing. And if I do preach the message, I've been at least studying on it this week. If I do preach it, it'll be more for me than you, but you can get something out of it as well. But anyway, we look at these Psalms, and we see the wonders of God, we see the blessings of God, and we see where that we're to praise God. Now again, we see here in verse 1, as we begin, he said, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights. These first six verses are speaking about the praise of God in the heavens. He describes inanimate and animate objects as well. As we read down through these verses, all were designed, created to praise the Lord, to bring glory to Him, to celebrate His greatness, to recognize His majesty, to adore Him, and to bow before Him. Now, he says here in this passage, he's saying, as we begin in verse 1, the heavens, the heavenly host, he's saying that they praise God. And it is God who not only created the planets, but keep them in their orbit. This same God is the one who is with us, that has created us, and that is guiding us through this life as He is guiding the planets and so forth. Now notice as we come to verse 2, and he says in verse 2, he says, praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his host. And that we see here in this passage that angels are spiritual beings, great in praise of God day and night as we read through the Scriptures. We find there's angels, there's cherubims, there's seraphims, there's archangels, and we find all of these are in the business, heavenly business, of praising the Lord. Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 to 11, describe some things that are going on around the throne of God in heaven. Revelation 5, verses 11 through verse 14, also describe this as well, the angelic beings, a great multitude that praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 describes to us the angelic beings that they're ministering spirits. And we find that they are praising the Lord. When the Lord Jesus was born, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, we find that there is an angel that appeared and to the shepherds that are in the field. Then we read on through that passage and we find that there is a multitude of angelic beings that were involved there in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 2, he says, praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. That is His created beings, His army, the angelic beings. And as we come in verse 3, he says, praise ye Him, the sun and the moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. You say, now, how is it that they praise the Lord? Well, from the very beginning, In the book of Genesis, if you want to turn to these, you can. But in Genesis chapter 1, from the very beginning, we see that the sun and the moon and the stars were created to bring glory unto the Lord. The Bible said in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The first few verses that chapter is talking about the heavenly things. In Psalms, if you're taking notes, Psalms chapter 8, we also see there in that passage. I'm going to read in Genesis, but in Psalms chapter 8, I'm just going to give that to you. Psalms 8 in verse 3, we have these words. He said, the psalmist said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And so we find that the heavenly bodies, even though they don't audibly speak as you and I do, we find that they give evidence of God's existence. Their size, the stars, the planets, their size, their splendor, the orbits that they travel and all these kind of things are testifying to the glory of God, to the existence of God. He says in Genesis chapter 1, reading from verse 14, he said, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs." Now notice that. "Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." So God has placed these there. I'm not one of these that are looking at the stars and following the zodiac and all these kind of things. I don't care for that stuff. I've got a message to preach on astrology here hopefully in a month or two. I've been planning to do it for the last year and keep putting it off for other things. But still yet, that sun is there for a reason. And the moon is there, the stars. He said in verse 15, "Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth." And it was so. "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day." So in the very first chapter of the Bible, we see that sun, the moon, the stars, they were created for you and I. They relate to our faith. That is, the heavens declare the glory of God. If you cannot look into the sky and see the glory of God, there's something desperately wrong. They relate to the weather. We read in Matthew chapter 16, they relate to a number of things in the Scriptures. Now, you notice with me, as we come back, we see here in verse 3 again, he says, "Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light." So even though they cannot speak as you and I would speak, every day, every night, the sun, the moon, the stars are praising God. They're testifying to His existence and His goodness and His glory. Then as we come to verse 4, he said, "Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens." Now Paul, the apostle, speaks of the third heaven, three heavens. And I don't understand all of that. But here he says, "Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." I don't know whether that's referring to clouds or maybe even above that, above the firmament. Not sure exactly what it's referring to. But it's for the cherubims and the angels. And if it's referring above that, it's where they dwell. And it's beyond the reach of our telescope. And no matter how powerful our telescopes are, they never reach the end of the universe. And so he says here in verse 4, he said, "Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." He said in verse 5, he said, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." Now in verse 5, God just spoke all into existence. And you can write down Hebrews 11, verse 3. Verses 1, 2, 3 actually speak of the creation. And let me just read that to you. I can quote part of it, but better off just read it to you. In Hebrews chapter 11, it said in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Again in Colossians 1, verse 16 through 18, we see again that God created all things. All things consist by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He not only created it, He's holding all things together. He spoke it into existence. He said, "Let there be." In other words, He spoke everything to existence. All was created. God did not need a supply of building materials when He created this universe. If you and I build anything or create anything, we need to go somewhere and get some supplies. But God didn't have to do that. Now, He says here in verse 5, He said, "Let them praise," notice, "the name of the Lord, for He commanded," notice that He spoke, He said, "Let there be," He commanded, "and they were created." In verse 6, we have these words. He said, "And He hath also established them forever and ever, and He hath made a decree which shall not pass." Two words here. He has established, In other words, He's laid the foundation. And it says, and He hath made a decree. God laid down a law. And I want you to think about this. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. And let me just give you a few thoughts on this. What God has created and the way that He created it, it will be in existence until the Lord comes or until the Lord says, you know, that it's going to change. Man is not going to mess this up. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 33, we're going to go to two passages in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. Now, we've already read in Genesis 1 that God established the sun, the moon, and the stars. He established all of this. He created it. And here in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 33, we're going to see this. In chapter 33, we're going to be reading, first of all, in verse 20. Notice how this is worded. He said in verse 20, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant." He compares His covenant with, and now you be thinking of the new covenant. He compares His covenant with His decree, with the creation. He said, "If ye can break my covenant of the day," notice this, of the day. Remember, He created the day and the night, the sun, the moon, the stars. He said, "If ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of night, and that there should not be day and night in the season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son." Well, did David have a son? Yes, that son is the Lord Jesus Christ. That wasn't broken. He compared the covenant, the new covenant, the covenant with David. He compared this covenant with the covenant, the sun, moon, and stars of day and night. And then you'll notice with me in verse 25, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant." This, and I'm just going to stop reading there. You'll notice the importance here that the Lord says, my new covenant, my covenant, where, you know, that's going to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's saying He's comparing that with the covenant that He made in the very beginning, that decree, that what He established of day and night. There's no way you can stop the day and night. You just try as hard as you can to stop the sun from coming up in the morning. I just challenge you to do that. You're going to be weary tomorrow if you try to do it because you can't stop it. And you cannot stop the sun from going down tonight and the stars coming out. You can't stop that. You notice in chapter 30, in chapter 31, this is dealing, again, with the new covenant in verse 31. He says, "Behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant." Well, notice when, as we come down to verse 35, he said, "But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor." Come down with me to verse 35. He says, I was reading, by the way, verse 33, verse 35 now. He said, "Thus saith the Lord," notice this, "which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever." In other words, again, promises that God has made, and He compares it with His creation. Now, notice with me as we come back to Psalms 148. I believe the sun is, what, 93 million miles. Now, I've never traveled that distance, so I don't know that for sure, but I believe they say it's 93 million miles. You know, you've read this, you've seen this. They say if the sun was any closer, it would destroy the earth with heat. If it's any farther away, we would freeze to death. The moon, controlling the tides and things of that nature. And just the bottom line is, we see that all these things were created and they exist for the glory of God and to testify of His goodness and His greatness. If you're taking notes, you can write down Genesis 8:22. This is after Noah stepped off of the boat. God said again, the seasons. All right, the seasons, you're going to have them. He said they're going to be right in order. You notice that after spring, summer has come, hasn't it? Do you feel summer? How many have been baked today? And you know that it's summer. Well, guess what? Fall is going to come after that. And then winter, the seasons, will they're in order. They're not going to change until the Lord roars out of Zion. You write down Proverbs 3 and verse 19. Now notice what in verse 6 again. He said, He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. He said in verse 7, Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all depths. The depths here probably has to do with the ocean, the sea, especially the deep part of the sea, the extreme depths, the lower parts of the sea, and far as the dragons, I'm going to leave that alone. That is not the mystical creatures that we see pictures of and hear about today. I will say that. This may refer, since the word deeps, and all deeps there, the oceans, the sea, since it refers that, this may refer to some great fish, whale, some huge sea creature. It more than likely refers to that in the depths, in the bottoms of the sea. You know there's creatures down there that man has not even seen. And there's some huge creatures in the deep out there as well as on the land. So more than likely, it refers that I could give you eight or ten verses if you wanted some of those. You can get a concordance and run. That's Psalms 91:13 and Isaiah 13:22. I mean, there's many verses in the Bible that deal with this. Now, you notice with me as we move on, he says in verse 8, as we come to verse 8, he says here in this passage, by the way, the word deep does many times refer to the sea and the ocean, as in Genesis 1. And verse 21, Psalms 102, verse 24. Now, as we come to verse 8, he says this. We come here now to the elements. You see, we've looked at the heavenly beings and heavenly hosts. We looked at a number of things. We're going to see the elements. We're going to see nature. We're going to see man. All of this gives glory to God. He said in verse 8, he said, fire and hail and snow and vapors, and stormy wind, fulfilling His Word. And all these things are fascinating. They're wonderful. They also can bring much destruction. We see the lightning, the power just in the lightning. You ever done any study, read anything in lightning, how that one bolt could light up cities, you know, and things run the power of an entire city for a period of time. It's absolutely amazing, the power that is associated with this. When we think about fire, we think about forest fires. We got in the United States right now, there's one forest fire that's out of control. We think about the power that is in the fire that God has created. We think about snow. Snow is beautiful, but you get an avalanche and you won't think it's so beautiful. You'll be thinking of the power that is associated with it and destruction that it can bring. We find here the hail. I don't know if you've ever been in any hail storms, ever seen what it can do to roofs and automobiles and things like that. We're talking about the power of God. Revelation chapter 16 describes some quite large hail during the end times. But there's something here that we definitely know about, and that is the stormy wind. We know about tornadoes, especially in the Midwest. We read about cyclones on the other part of the world. But there's one thing we do know about living here on the Gulf Coast is hurricanes. We can track them. They got all the technology to track them, but they can't stop them. This, again, shows us the power of God Almighty. It reveals to us His power. And 150 to 200 mile-an-hour winds hit any city, any place, it's going to bring serious destruction. We know that. For a fact, we've seen that. But he says here now, as we come to verse 9, we see nature also testifies and glorifies and praises the Lord. He said in verse 9, the mountains and all the hills, the fruit trees and all cedars. In other words, we know that these testify to the greatness and the wonder and the power of God Almighty. Just the mountains. I mean, people on the coast here love to go to the mountains. A lot of them wouldn't want to live there, I guess, but they love to go up there. And people in the mountains love to come to the coast. They wouldn't live down. You can't get a hillbilly to move down here. unless he's got a calling. But they love to come down and stay about 2 days. Then they're ready to go back home. The mountains, the Smoky Mountains. When I lived in Pennsylvania, traveling from there, going through the Delaware Gap, going and preaching in Columbia, New Jersey, we used to drive through what they call the Poconos. And we drove through there every Friday night to go preach. Beautiful. Wintertime, you see the snow on those. A lot of people go there and to ski and things like that. The Rockies, they're okay. Being raised in the East and being raised in Tennessee and around the Smoky Mountains, to me, they're the most beautiful mountains, basically because I was raised there. I'm not as crazy about the Smokies, or the Rockies, and if people talk about them, I said, well, let me see your pictures. That's good enough. I don't need to go there, but I do like to go to the Smokies. And again, it's because of being raised there. People have said, well, when you go home and visit, you go to the mountains. I said, we live in the mountains, when you get up there. But anyway, all of these things, the mountains, the hills, the fruitful trees, the cedars, they all are praising God in their way. And then as we come to verse 11, verse 10 rather, you'll notice here in verse 10, the animals, they testify and praise the Lord in their way. He says here in verse 10, the beasts, all the cattle, the creeping things, and the flying fowl, everything from the flying fowl, from the little sparrow to the eagle, the seagull, all these things testify to the glory of God. Even the creeping things, even the spider testifies, the cricket, the butterfly, all of these things testify to the glory of God, the beasts, the cattle. Man is steward of this earth. And he's to take care of this earth that God has given to him. Put Adam in the garden to dress it and to keep it. That is to work and take care of it, because it is what provides our food and our clothing and our shelter and things of that nature. And I don't know what it does to you, but I've looked at several pictures of some of the birds that's been affected by the oil out here in the Gulf of Mexico. That's kind of sad to me to see that, to see these animals, dying. This is a man-made disaster. And to see all this, this is God's creation. This Gulf of Mexico out here is God's creation. God created it. He put life in it. And He gave it to us. And you can look at what we've done to it now. We're destroying it. We just got a report today that there's all possibilities that even with the other drilling, that it will not be kept till December. A man stopped by here that's working for the safety and so forth out there. He seen our sign out here and he stopped. He's from Texas. He wanted some CDs. He wanted to hear some preaching. And while he was in this area, and he stopped by and picked up some CDs. He called me the other day and said, I'd like to get some. Anyway, this man is to be a steward over this earth. God created this for man. They ain't not another planet. They keep looking for one. Trust me, Pandora's not out there either. It's not. They keep looking for one. But this is the one God created, and He placed you and I upon it. And everything that God created, it is testifying, it is saying something to our Creator. Every creature, in one way or the other, is testifying to the Creator. Now notice as we move on in the passage, all right, now notice with me as we come here to verse 11. In verse 11, now we come to mankind. We come to mankind. He says here in this passage, in verse 11, he said, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. Now we come to mankind. Mankind was created to testify and to praise and to glorify God. That's what man is to do. Now notice with me as we come to this passage. He says here, again, I'm saying to you that every creature is to testify to God Almighty. Now sometimes man fails in that. We have kings. Kings are to represent God and His government. And even judges and whatever are referred to as gods in the Bible sometimes. Not as God Himself, but in other words, representative of God. Rulers to carry out His plan and His workmanship. And then we have here in this passage the common man. He mentions the word people. And then he mentions the word princes. And then he mentions the word judges. All of these, the magistrates, all of these. Every person is to testify to the glory of God. And then as we read in verse 12, he said, both young men and maidens, old men and children. This includes everybody. Everybody. Even the children. They're to testify. They're to praise. Give God glory. Amen? And we find here in verse 12, or verse 13. Now notice this. He said in verse 13, he said, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. That means it's exalted. That means it is lifted up above all. Okay? And then he says here in this passage in verse 13, he said, His glory is above the earth and heaven. His glory, His presence, that which the word glory means, we've talked about this recently, that which carries weight. And he says here in this passage, he said, let them praise the name of the Lord. Well, in Philippians 2:9, the Bible says that every one shall bow the knee and confess with the tongue. They shall bow at the name of the Lord. Isaiah 12:4 speaks of praising the name of the Lord. Proverbs 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a tower, safety for you and I. And John 14 verses 12 and 13, we can pray in the name of the Lord when we need to pray. Well, notice as we come to our last verse this evening, and he says in verse 14, notice in verse 14, he said, He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. And then he closes this psalm with praise ye the Lord as he started. He noticed the people near unto God. 1 Peter 2:9, Ephesians 2:17, we as His church are near unto Him. And so I'm just simply saying as we close, we are to join in with all the heavenly host and everything that God has created, and we are to praise the Lord. So we're going to close right there.